Greetings, Iowa. My name is Brian Rohrbaugh. About 10 years ago, my son and I first started watching Bob Benyart Live on television. At first, I thought, what's wrong with this guy? He would quote from the Bible, and I'd think, that's not in the Bible. So I got my Bible, and I looked. You know what? I was wrong. I didn't know things like God sought to kill Moses. Did you? I soon realized Bob had an understanding of the Bible that I wanted, along with the boldness to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ without compromise. So I purchased a plot and a video, and I began to support this ministry. The first time I met Bob in person was in 1999, a few days after my son Dan was murdered at Columbine High School. I am so thankful that I had a biblically correct understanding of God and His Word at that time. I hope you will enjoy this show and join with me in supporting Bob Benyart Live. I want to encourage you to buy the plot and read it. And if you don't love it, I'll personally refund your money. Thank you.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Benyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. And on today's show, I'm going to talk about a few news headlines and discuss George W. Bush's opposition to South Dakota's total abortion ban. And then I'm going to interview an extraordinary young Christian woman, Maria, who is headed to the mission field to evangelize, to witness, to share Christ with Muslims. And I want to introduce her right now, even before I get to the news headlines. Maria, welcome to Bob Benyart Live.
Thank you, Bob.
It's really an honor to have you here.
Thanks.
And so if it's okay with you, I'll do our normal news headlines. And feel free to chime in if you'd like to, okay?
Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. Okay, so where do we begin? Let's see. Well, there is an actress. She was nominated for an Academy Award for her work in Brokeback Mountain. Her name is Michelle Williams. And she attended a Christian school in California, Solana Beach's Santa Fe Christian School. And that school now is being mocked in the media. I've got an article here published by the San Diego, signonsandiego.com and the San Diego Union Tribune. And they're mocking the school because the school doesn't support her, even though she attended there and they teach drama. But they said that Brokeback Mountain, the message of Brokeback Mountain is against the morality of the Word of God. She appeared in a TV show called Dawson's Creek. And the people who run the Santa Fe Christian School, they're saying, hey, the morals that are coming across Michelle Williams in her professional career are destructive, and they're against what God has revealed to mankind. And I admire that school for speaking the truth, but the reason I'm bringing this up is because Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, one of our longtime advertisers, they're sending a letter to the administrators of this Santa Fe Christian School. And they're saying, thank you so much for holding true to the Word of God and not being intimidated into going along with approving of homosexuality and sexual immorality. So that's pretty cool, isn't it?
That's wonderful.
Yes, Maria. So I'm proud of Maranatha and of Santa Fe Christian, the school in California, for holding to the truth of God's Word. Then let's see. What else do we have? Okay. In Texas, Lufkin Daily News. There's a column there, and the columnist, Clements, he is praising James Dobson. And this columnist, now James Dobson is the head of Focus on the Family, but this columnist is radically pro-homosexual rights. And he said, I never thought I would see the day when I would publicly praise James Dobson. And he says, finally, James Dobson is supporting gay rights, at least at some level. And that's what's happening when Focus on the Family has come out in favor of Bill 166 in Colorado, which is bad law, that says, among other things, if homosexuals are married in Massachusetts or elsewhere, when they come to Colorado, they automatically get reciprocal partner benefits. And Focus on the Family thinks by supporting this bill, it's a savvy political maneuver, but it blurs the distinction between right and wrong, and Christians should not give up on clearly proclaiming do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal. We shouldn't give up on that to gain some temporary political advantage.
That's so true.
Right, Maria? So anyway, we keep documenting homosexuals, liberals, pro-homosexual people around the country praising Focus on the Family. And that just blurs the whole battle that we're in. Foreign Policy Magazine has an article out, The Return of Patriarchy. And they're saying across the globe, people are choosing to have fewer and fewer children or even none at all. And they say the consequence of this, and of course it's happening in America, for how many years? Abortion's been legal here, Maria, a long time, right? How many kids have been aborted? A lot.
Millions.
Tens of millions of children. And so Foreign Policy Magazine says conservatives will inherit the earth because liberals are killing their children. Mm-hmm. And conservatives are having large families, like God wants to bless us with children. So there's a natural demographic consequence of that. And in Europe, they're killing themselves. And in America, the liberals are killing themselves and their children. And so conservatives, Jesus said, you know, that his followers would inherit the earth. So it looks like it's happening.
Sounds like an endangered species.
Endangered species. That's right. Okay. In Europe, Reuters is reporting the first cat to die, the first mammal to die in Europe from the bird flu, the feared H5N1 virus. And so this cat went out and got the virus from a sick bird. And so now Germany has passed a law that people have to keep their cats indoors if they live anywhere near where sick birds have been documented. So through much of Germany now, cats have to stay indoors. And they said this is a real crisis for pet-loving Europe. And it made me think, you know, they're not having kids in Europe. They're not replacing their own population. And they're not marrying, but they love pets. And you go to cities like San Francisco, or you go to Europe, you see people walking their pets everywhere in the parks. They don't make the parks for kids anymore. They make them for dogs and cats. So when liberals are against marriage and they're against kids, we're seeing some of the consequence. Mm-hmm. And now on to, so what do you think, kids or pets? Which is a higher...
I'd say kids for sure. I come from a big family, and I think it was just wonderful.
Cheryl and I have seven boys between us and two daughter-in-laws and one and a half grandkids or one grandchild and one very soon to be born. So two grandchildren. And it's just a blessing. Okay, now on to George W. Bush. Well, President Bush indicated he is opposed to South Dakota's abortion ban, because it would outlaw the killing of an unborn child, even in the case of rape, which he is against outlawing that because he says he favors an exception like abortion if the father is a rapist. Now, is that, Maria, I'll ask you. We haven't talked about abortion. You're here to talk about sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with Muslims. But how about that? If a man rapes a woman and she becomes pregnant, is it okay to kill that baby?
I think absolutely not, because there is no situation that gives a person a right to take another life. Mm. There's just nothing in common sense or in the Bible that ever gives anybody a right.
To kill an innocent person, God says, do not shed innocent blood. Do not shed innocent blood. And so if a baby's father is a criminal, then you don't kill the child because his father is a criminal. That's what Brian Rorbaugh said at the March for Life in Colorado this past January. And in fact, in the Bible, God says, he spends a whole chapter in the Bible saying, I would never punish a child for the sins of the father. Mm-hmm. Never. Why? Because it would be wrong to punish a child for the sins of the father. And so here we have our many of our Christian pro-life leaders saying they support killing a child if his father was a criminal. And that's just so absolutely tragic. It's just devastating. So you know what the tragedy is there? The liberals, they see through that immediately as hypocrisy. They say, well, why are you against abortion? I thought you thought it was murder. We've read columns like this through the years. They say, I thought you thought it was murder. You obviously don't believe it's murder because you wouldn't murder a child because his father was a criminal. Mm-hmm. So your real motive must be that you want to control women and you don't want women to get ahead. You're really a misogynist or something. And that's tragic because we are hypocrites. When pro-lifers are hypocrites, we undermine the ability of convincing people of the truth that God said, do not murder, and we should all abide by that. Okay, so that's some of the news of the day. And now I'd like to talk to you, Maria, about what God has called you to, the mission field, but not just going off and witnessing to whoever comes across your path. You have a specific calling. What is that?
To work with the Muslims in the Islamic world and find ways to share the gospel with them that they can understand and that makes sense to them.
Now, okay, that's very clear. That's a mission statement. I want to share the gospel with Muslims. I'd like to know, how do you do that? Is it scary? We've seen in the news that there are some in the Muslim community that do not take kindly to Christians sharing the gospel. So to start with, how do you do it?
Well, the very first thing you have to do is you have to understand how Muslims think. You cannot go and present the gospel to them the very same way you would do it to anybody on the streets in America, some other culture. Mm-hmm. You really have to understand that. You have to understand what their worldview is and how they think. There are so many things that they believe about Christ and about Christians and about the Bible, too, that are just presuppositions you cannot get by unless you're very, very careful to understand them and approach them in a very direct way.
Mm-hmm.
Especially what Muslims are brought up to think about Christians. That really puts a Christian in any place in the world, in a really hard place to try to share the gospel with them in a way that they can understand and that they will actually receive.
Well, what is it that typically they believe about us?
They typically believe that anything they see in the American movies, in a businessman that comes to visit from the West, all of the things that they hear about how corrupt the West is, abortion, all of this is just
Christianity.
Stacked up to be Christianity, right?
So Hollywood represents America.
Definitely.
To the Muslim world.
Yes.
So Islam thinks that the perversion that comes through our media,
right,
is the result of following Christ, being Christian.
Right. And beside that, they have a historical presupposition about how Christians were in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Every Muslim child knows about the Crusades, even if a Christian child doesn't.
Right. Well, we've said after 9/11, when much more attention was brought to the issue of extremist Muslims and jihadists, what we said on Bob and Yurt Live is, of course, you never blame the victim for being a victim.
Mm-hmm.
And that crime, as with all murders, it's the fault of the murderer.
Right.
But what happens with America is that Hollywood and our laws that have decriminalized abortion, homosexuality, adultery, pornography, our laws export and our culture exports immorality around the world. And our families are disintegrating in divorce, like in Europe, because we're effectively in a post-Christian era.
Right.
And so Arab families see this, and an Arab grandmother realizes that in America, many of the daughters and sons grow up to be homosexual or to
right.
experiment. The girls get pregnant at early ages. They have abortions.
Right.
The men are addicted to pornography.
Mm-hmm.
we've gone to Israel three times. If a young Palestinian man gets a job working at a Western hotel, like the King David Hotel or something, mm-hmm. and he has to clean the rooms, he could turn on the TVs and watch Hollywood pornography
mm-hmm.
and have his own life destroyed by that influence from the West.
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying that's what they see as Christian influence.
Right, exactly.
So we've said what America should not do, since there's already hostility
mm-hmm.
toward Christians, toward America. In fact, pretty much every nation in the world has despised every other nation.
Right.
Prejudice and hatred is the normal condition,
mm-hmm.
tragically, of mankind.
Yep.
So we should not exacerbate that and promote filth and perversion and export it and fill our culture with it, because that exacerbates the already existing hatred that others will have for us.
You're so right.
And so I'm not blaming America for being attacked.
Right.
But I am blaming America for being immoral and perverse, killing the unborn, and this increases our risk of being hated and a target from other cultures that at least follow some semblance of the Mosaic Law and the Ten Commandments.
Or claim to, exactly.
Or claim to.
But the bad thing is that we're exporting it and we're being such a terrible example.
Right.
And it's becoming very popular. But
all the immorality.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And so much of the world has joined us or is ahead of us.
Right.
In the filth that their cultures produce and their laws permit. But the Islamic world has not jumped on, for example, the homosexuality bandwagon, the abortion bandwagon, the pornography bandwagon. And I'm thankful of that.
At least not openly.
Not openly. There's
right.
There's sin beneath the surface.
Definitely.
Of so many cultures.
Mm-hmm.
Crimes in the Islamic world seem to be, well, crimes against women.
Right.
Are prevalent.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true, would you
Very
say?
Very true. Very true. But the thing is that all these other things, abortion, homosexuality, and these kinds of things, aren't legalized there in most cases. And that's something that we've done that just is a terrible shame
right.
to our country.
Yeah, when you declare something legally valid,
mm-hmm.
like if we legalized NAMBLA and adults having sex with children, we would get more of that behavior.
Right.
And that's why we should never legalize that. Even the liberals are always fighting to lower, lower, and lower the age of consent so that children could have sex.
Mm-hmm.
That's a common liberal theme, which is tragic. But so in the Arab world, even though there are murderers and rapists and all kinds of criminals everywhere, it's far worse when the government legitimizes the behavior.
That's right.
And they haven't done that. And so one of the consequences is AIDS is not an epidemic. Now, do you find this to be true? We've been talking about this for almost 15 years on the show, on the air, that AIDS is not an epidemic in Islamic countries.
It's true of most. It is. There are some Muslims, and they don't subscribe to the same type of Islam in Eastern and Western Africa, where mm-hmm. they're having a lot of problems with that.
Where homosexuality is almost... it's a part of the culture
right.
when men are young, especially.
Right.
Which is tragic.
It is. But I don't think that that's necessarily an Islamic trend. Definitely.
No, right. That was sort of an indigenous
right.
problem. And so when they adopted Islam, it never displaced that behavior.
Right.
But other countries where Islamic law, Sharia law
mm-hmm.
has become prevalent, then homosexuality is against the law, severely punished, and as a result, they don't have, of the millions of people who have died from AIDS around the world, those countries have very little AIDS. We were told by our government for years that AIDS does not discriminate and it doesn't stop at the border of any country, but it turns out that's not true.
Right.
If your culture doesn't promote homosexuality, then your people will not be decimated by HIV.
That's true.
Wow. So there are some things in the Islamic world that are echoes of the Judeo-Christian religion that Muhammad based Islam on.
That's true.
And they benefit from those echoes.
They do. Yeah. And the neat thing about going to a country that's very Islamic and living there and making friends with the people and learning their culture is that a lot of times Christians can show Muslims that that is not the way the Bible has us be.
Oh.
Show a difference between the way that Americans live and the way that Christians are supposed to act.
Mm-hmm. So that, okay, I think I get it. When a Christian goes into an Islamic community and is living the way God would have us live,
mm-hmm.
then they become a contrast to the impression.
Oh, yes.
That here's what Christians are. They're immoral. They're perverse.
Yes. And this is a huge impact on that culture. It's a great opportunity. They ask you. They want to know why you don't act like what they think Christians ought to act.
Like Madonna.
Right.
I mean, even Madonna, it's like a name that some might use for the Virgin Mary.
Mm-hmm.
And she has all kinds of religious connotation in her songs. And so she mixes immorality and perversion with religion. That's sort of her shtick.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's an image of Christianity that comes across MTV, which is all over the world
mm-hmm.
on satellite.
Yep. And the neat thing is when we have an opportunity to go and live there, learn their language and their culture, and begin to build relationships with those people and show them, and they start asking questions, well, why aren't you like that? Mm. And then you can share the gospel because that's what we're really trying to do.
Share the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yes, and they're very interested in it. They want to know, and they want to know why you're different.
For those who are listening to the show, maybe just found it on the radio in Colorado and Iowa on the internet, and they don't know what the gospel is. What is the gospel?
The gospel is the truth that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation.
Oh.
And through his blood, that men can be cleansed from sin.
Mm-hmm.
And by faith in him and accepting of that free gift, that we can have eternal life.
Wow. He created us.
That's right.
God created us. We sinned. And then God the Son, the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God the Son became flesh, lived a sinless life, and died not for his own sin but for ours so God could forgive us justly.
Right.
Because you can't just wink at sin and make believe nothing went wrong.
Right.
Like if you have a kid who steals money out of his grandmother's purse and he never gets punished, will he get better or will he get worse? He gets worse. And because of justice. And so God knew he couldn't just make believe we didn't sin.
Right.
To save us, to forgive us, he had to punish that sin. So God the Son took that punishment for us if we will trust in him.
Amen.
So that's the message that you're going to preach to those who so desperately need it.
Right.
And, you know, our nation needs it too. Needs you, Maria, and others to share the gospel because our national security is at stake.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is a holy war to those who are attacking us. And the best thing we could do for security of our country, of a family, of the world, is to spread the gospel of Jesus
Christ.
That's
right. It's a long-term solution.
Long-term solution.
Yes, because it's not always the best answer to just do whatever, making these agreements or whatever. But the long-term solution to the Islamic Jihad and the Islamic terrorists is to help them to see that that is not the way you get to heaven.
Is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I view what you're doing as much supportive in helping national security as anything that any individual soldier is doing. And there's also risk, of course. So when we went to Turkey 2 years ago, a Bible tour of Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
We go to the different Bible countries every other year. And we're going to Greece in May. We can't wait. We're all going to get 25 of us or so. We'll meet in Athens. It's going to be so much fun. And we go around the country and we study the Bible, what happened in those cities.
Great.
And in Greece, in Istanbul, here's a nation, 99% Muslim, and they desperately need the gospel. We have very little time left, but let's go to Denver, Colorado. Our phone number is 800-836-9278. 800-836-9278. Dennis, you're on with Bob Inyart and Maria.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful to talk to you again, Bob. Hello, Maria.
Hi.
Thank you. Hi.
I have a lot of respect for you, Bob, and I just was listening while I was driving, so I think I might have missed some of the context or something, but the part that I heard before I turned my radio off to call you, sounded like you were saying that the United States law should reflect Mosaic law. Is that what you were saying?
Well, God revealed in the Bible a law for all nations and then a specific national covenant for Israel. We should not implement Israel's idiosyncratic regulations, like how you're supposed to dress and how you eat and the feast days and all. But we should take the law that God gave to the world. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not commit adultery. Do not bear false witness against your neighbor. Those four of the Ten Commandments are the foundation of a criminal justice system for any nation. And any nation that violates do not murder is wrong to do so.
And I completely agree. And it's wonderful to have guidelines because, as we all know, the law is a mirror in which we can reflect and see what is right and wrong. But my concern is, and I want to make sure that I'm not jumping to any conclusions.
Yeah.
Because I love you, Bob. I think you're awesome. You're awesome. I want to make sure that you're aware of, in the book of Romans, of course, that the Christians are no longer under the law.
Oh, yeah, you're talking about...
No,
hey, Dennis.
Let me just finish my
Dennis,
thought.
No, we don't have the time. We don't have the time. I'm putting you on hold. Listen, you're talking about the Christian life, but the government has a function different from the Christian life. The government deals with law, public policy, and executing people, and the Christian life is not involved with executing people. But, Maria, I don't know what your schedule is. If you could hang around, and we'll take maybe calls about witnessing to Muslims.
Okay.
You think you could do that?
Sure.
At Bob Inyart Live and KGov.com, you'll find literature, audio, and video products that are a must for the library of any Christian interested in studying the truth of the Bible. You'll find essential material like the Plot Manuscript, an overview of the whole Bible that will clear up doctrinal issues. Then there's The Tree, a fun audio journey back to the Garden of Eden, where you'll learn about this most famous tree and its impact on humanity. Check out the Mount Moriah video. This video gives evidence for the resurrection, combining biblical and secular resources. It's a great witnessing tool. And don't forget the death penalty video. Learn that Jesus advocated the death penalty and learn how God put the death penalty at the heart of the gospel. You can directly help Bob's outreach by subscribing to Best of Bob, Bob's Best 8 Shows of the Month, or build a Bible study library by ordering the monthly Bible albums. There's a lot more, so give us a call at 1-800-8-INYARD. That's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278 or KGOV.com.
Back to Bob Inyart Live, and I pastor Denver Bible Church in Colorado, and we're so honored to be on the air in Iowa on KFFF out of Boone, Iowa, Ames, and Des Moines, Iowa. So if you'd like to talk to Maria, this is the time to call in at 800-8-INYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278. So, Maria, you're going to be a missionary to the Islamic world.
Yes.
How do we, in America here, there are so many Muslims, how do we witness to them here?
Well, the first thing to do is be friendly and try to help them. Sometimes Muslims come as refugees and they need to find their way around. It's very confusing. It's a confusing place. They're afraid of America a lot of times because of what they've been told. So the first thing you can do is try to become friends with them and get to know them and help build trust. It's a really big factor. You're not going to be able to share the gospel unless you can build trust with them. And you'll be surprised. It's easier than you probably think. You got to get over your own fears first. A lot of people in America are afraid of Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
And so break down that and try to find ways that you can show them that you're trustworthy and different. Mm. It's really important.
We had a family from the Middle East who years ago, 15 years ago, was advertising on Bob and Yurt Live.
Huh?
And they had an arranged marriage. They never met until their wedding day. And then they moved to America and heard this show and thought, oh, he's against abortion. He's against homosexuality. They started advertising on the show.
Right.
Their business. And over the years, we've been able to share with Muslims, and there's two ways to evangelize. One is lifestyle evangelism, like you're talking about.
Right.
Build the relationship. And then there's like the prophets, the Apostle Paul, standing on a street corner, sharing with people the gospel that you've never met, and they're both valid.
Right.
Of course. But when you live next to someone, or there's someone in your life who believes in Allah and the Quran, become a friend, support them, encourage them, and show them what a true Christian is really like.
Right.
Let's go to the phones. In Tulsa, Oklahoma, Wayne, you're on with Maria. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hey, Bob, Maria. First of all, I just wanted to tell you I really appreciate your taking the gospel to the Muslim world.
Thank you.
That it's hard enough sometimes for us to talk to our friends and neighbors about Christianity, much less to a country where that is a crime.
Right.
Well, and in some countries, it is a crime to preach the gospel. Is that true, Maria?
That's very true. A lot of Islamic countries, it is. Mm. And not only is it a crime to preach the gospel in many places, but in more places, it's a crime to help Muslims convert. That's the big issue.
Right. Well, that's just tremendous.
And by the way, some of our listeners have occasionally called in saying that in Israel, it's against the law to preach the gospel. That's not true. There have been some efforts in Israel by some to outlaw proselytizing Jews, converting them to Christianity. But it's legal to witness in Israel. Now, Wayne, I know from your city, Tulsa, and your voice that you are the webmaster to KGov Archives, our website, kgov.com. And we've got our KGov Archives, these programs, going back for years. So, Wayne, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, Bob. Your show is going into countries like Pakistan and Afghanistan and Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, China,
well,
Kuwait.
Now, how long have the archives been up as a separate site, the kgovarchives.com?
We're just starting our third year, so they've been up for 2 full years.
Okay, and so are you saying that you're seeing a growth in the show being downloaded to Islamic countries around the world?
When I first started looking, I didn't see any hits from like China or Korea or any of those. But just in the last few months, we've been getting quite a few hits. And they've been downloading quite a few of your MP3 shows. Mm. So I know they're not just stumbling onto the site and then going on. I
right.
mean, they're staying there for a while.
Well, and so how are we doing overall? Are people listening to the old shows?
I just ran the stats this afternoon, and for the last 1 year, we're just a little short. We didn't quite make it, but almost we made a half a terabyte of data.
Half a terabyte? Wait, I wonder if my mother knows what that means. A half a terabyte?
And that's 1 year, year-to-date as of yesterday.
Wow. So that is 500. Now, I should ask Maria. Maria, do you know how much a half a terabyte is?
Actually not.
Come on. Half a terabyte is 500 gigabytes.
Wow.
That's right.
Is that right, Wayne?
That's correct.
So a gigabyte is a lot of shows, because a typical Bob and Yurt Live show is about 10 megabytes. And
that's
you got
correct.
1,000 megabytes in 1 gigabyte. So 500 gigabytes is 500,000 megabytes.
Wow.
Right. There are hundreds and hundreds of shows downloaded from the archive site every month.
Wow, that's exciting. And they're going around the world.
They are. We get visits from, like I say, from almost every country around the world. So
well,
your ministry is reaching far, far away.
All right. Well, Wayne, thank you so very much. And thank you. For your compliment to Maria about her devotion to the Lord and courage, and we're very proud of her here.
Well, we'll keep you in our prayers, Maria.
Thank you.
And you've been a great influence to us, Bob, over the years. This makes our 12th year of following your ministry, and I just wanted to thank you also for helping us grow in such a godly way. It's in our Christianity.
Wow. And, Wayne, what do you think about us being on now? This is our first week in Iowa.
I think it's great. I think it's just absolutely wonderful. And for your people that may not be familiar with your ministry, like you've said before, you have a long history that they can check you out for, going back for many years.
All right.
And I wanted to tell you that that we really appreciate what you've done in our lives.
Well, thank you, Wayne. God bless you. I
appreciate God bless you, Bob.
Appreciate your call. Of course, it's the Lord doing things in people's lives. And we, as followers of Christ, share the Lord with people, and he changes lives.
Amen.
It's so exciting to see what God can do to an individual. And then when that individual trusts the Lord, then God could work through them to reach their family.
Yes. And that's really important in the Islamic context, because family is so important to them.
Mm.
So hearing from somebody that's a friend is a big plus. Hearing from somebody that's a family is even bigger.
Oh.
A member of their own family.
Mm-hmm. And in our culture, it almost would be the opposite.
Yeah.
Like if a family member says something, people don't care.
Right.
Because we've learned to disrespect family.
Right. It's a shame.
Yeah, like Hollywood mocking the father in almost every sitcom for the last 30 years.
Right.
The father is the fool, the moron, the butt of every joke.
Right.
And it's typically the wife and the teenage daughter are the ones who have all the wisdom. And the father is a moron, and the teenage son is probably a lower status than a teenage daughter.
Yeah.
So men are mocked by our culture.
And that's not found in the Islamic world.
No.
It's not allowed or tolerated. And
And it's destructive.
Right.
It's destructive. So here in America, certainly we should work toward undoing the cliche that Christians are immoral, Americans are scary, are rotten, are mean. We should work to undo that. And if we meet Muslims, in fact, even pronouncing it, when I grew up, a Muslim was a M-O-S-L-I-M, Muslim.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then it was Muslim. Now it's Muslim is the way typically. If you listen to NPR radio,
right,
you find out how to pronounce everything.
Yeah.
So anyway, but to undo the stereotype that they have of Christians.
Yes. And that only happens through relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So meeting you and getting to know you and seeing that you're different from the regular Joe in America is a very, very big plus for a Muslim.
Mm-hmm. And then how about, let me ask you this question. What is it about their culture that would cause so many? Not everyone who believes in Islam supports terror. In fact,
that's true.
It's probably not a majority. I've seen public surveys around the world in like more than 20 countries where in the few years after 9/11, support for jihad and suicide bombers dropped significantly in country after country, going from like, say, 40s to 50% down to 15 to 18% or 23%, depending on what country you're talking about.
Right.
But what is it about Islam and their mindset that could support the idea of people going and intentionally targeting and killing women and children?
I think it's an old Arab value that is carried over in many places of the world where Islam is embraced. It's the idea that honor and the honor of the family is the most important thing to life.
Hmm. Well, so that here in the Christian value that would equate to that, I guess, would be right and wrong.
Right.
To us, righteousness, that God is good, is the paramount value.
Right.
And so you don't go to another country and blow up a bunch of kids on a school bus.
Right, because it's wrong.
Because it's wrong.
Right.
Now, does the concept of right and wrong, is that paramount among Muslims?
No, it's not. That's why, and that comes sometimes from their idea of God, and that he's not necessarily righteous as in the Christian sense, where he says, I will not do such and such because it is wrong. But in the Islamic world, no. The most important thing is this honorable or shameful? And how will this reflect on the honor of my family? Will it shame them? That's the biggest question.
So, for example, if they have a daughter who's accused of having sex outside of marriage, she could be killed by her own family members.
Right. Even if she didn't do it. even if only the...
It's a rumor.
Right.
Even if the family believes it's a rumor,
right,
they will still kill the daughter or sister. This is a rare problem in the Islamic world or a significant problem?
It depends on where you go. In Central Asia and in many places in the Middle East, it's a big problem.
Mm-hmm.
And there's statistics out there about how many women are killed in honor killings each year. And there's not just women being killed, but also men and children.
So when the 9/11 terrorists, some of them the day before on September 10th, 2001, they went to strip joints and they used their credit cards to pay for sexual immorality.
Right.
And so how is this? Now you're a martyr. You're going to be killed for your devotion to God. And you're going to a strip joint for doing, I mean, it's just bizarre.
Right.
The martyrs that we read about in Fox's Book of Martyrs and throughout Christian history, that seems to be incongruent with the Christian experience of martyrdom, where the Christians were killed by the wicked. Islamic martyrs, they're the ones killing the innocent women and children. And then some of them, they go to a strip joint the night before.
Yes.
What's with that?
Well, one of the things that helps Muslims to feel like that's not wrong is the idea that they don't focus on right and wrong. And here in America, it's accepted to do something like that. Not altogether, but in many cases, they feel like in America this is an acceptable practice, so why not do it here?
So they can do what they really want to do here.
Sure.
And if anything, it just adds to the shame of America, that America has all this stuff going on.
Sure.
But my family back home, they won't know about it, or they would know it's just because I was in America.
Right. They would know it's just because I'm in America.
Right.
Yeah.
So it brings further shame to America and honor to them that they killed some Americans.
Right. And besides that, the honor of their family will be secured in the act they're just about to do in killing themselves. So that brings so much honor onto their family that it kind of eclipses the if there's shame in what they did just before it.
And it's just so bizarre that they've been told that if they kill themselves in this way, they get 72 virgins in the afterlife. That's a truly bizarre concept.
Yeah.
That which they're not allowed to do here, that's what they get. I mean, it's like the Hugh Hefner Playboy view of religion.
Right. But it comes from their idea that God is not necessarily holy in the strict sense that we Christians feel he is, but that he's more arbitrary, and that if he sanctions something one day and the next day doesn't, that's his choice.
Yeah. And, you know, within Christianity, there's been all kinds of theological concepts that were false. Like the church could sell indulgences.
Right.
That came from a view that God's righteousness was arbitrary, that God could declare what was right or what was wrong. Anything he said became right.
Right.
And that's not true.
No, it's not.
Righteousness is a definition of God's nature.
Exactly.
And so God, if Jesus Christ were to worship Satan, that would have been a sin.
Right.
That wouldn't mean that now worshiping Satan is good.
Right.
God is truly righteous. And so that's been a problem in the Catholic Church. In fact, within Protestants, there are many millions who think that every perverse and wicked thing that happens, like if a child is tortured and raped, they think that that's God's will and that God orchestrated that child to be raped for God's glory and his pleasure.
Right.
And that's not Christianity.
No, it isn't.
That's not the Bible.
That's not the basic difference that we see between Christianity and Islam. That's just,
right. That's where Christians have been seduced by pagan Greek philosophy. The Greeks thought that, you know, if your house got hit by lightning, it was Zeus throwing the lightning bolt. So that was imported into Christianity through St. Augustine. And now there are Christians who think God is on both sides of every battle. God is making abortion happen, and he's killing 50 million kids in America, and God is trying to stop abortion.
Exactly.
And it, you know what it does? It enables Christians to get out of the fight, because you lose, many millions lose the understanding that this is a vital battle, because it's not vital. God's on both sides.
Right.
Wow. So, okay, I want to let people know that if they'd like to support Maria as she goes as a missionary to the Islamic world, you can do that through Denver Bible Church. If you'd like to do that, here's what you do. Either you go online to our website at kgov.com, or you can call us. Now, you could call Bob Enyart Live at 800-8-ENYART. That number will do a world of good for all kinds of reasons. But, for example, if you'd like to support Maria, and this is not why, Maria, you didn't know I was going to say this.
Right.
Right? So I don't want to embarrass you, but when you have a ministry, it needs to be funded. And so if you'd like to support Maria as one of the few in the body of Christ who are going to witness to Muslims, then you could send a check to Denver Bible Church or go online to kgov.com, go to donate in our store. There's a tab for donating, and donate not to Bob Enyart Live, but to Denver Bible Church. And then write a memo, a comment, or if you send a check on the memo line, put Islamic Missions. And then Denver Bible Church, our bookkeeper, will get that money to Maria in the mission field.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. And let me give the address for if you'd like to send a check. That's, you could send the check to Denver Bible Church, payable to Denver Bible Church, P.O. Box 583, 583 Arvada, Arvada, Colorado. Arvada is A-R-V-A-D-A, Arvada, Colorado, 80001, 80001. Okay, the phone number, we have barely enough time for another caller or two, 800-836-9278, especially if you're listening online or in Iowa. This is an invitation, a cordial invitation to you to call in and talk to us here at Bob Enyart Live, talk to Maria. So, Maria, the way women are treated in many Islamic countries is not all that great.
Right. It's really sad. Women, in some interpretations of Islam, are seen as the less valued gender. Mm. And that just erupts into really abuse of them, and it's allowable. It's encouraged if you interpret the Quran to mean it that way.
Women, less valuable gender. How does that compare to Christianity?
Well, in Christianity, we see that women and men are equal in the sight of God.
Equal.
Equal value.
The Apostle Paul wrote, there is neither male nor female in the body
right.
of Christ, but we're all one in Christ and equal.
Right, exactly.
And in fact, in the ancient world, the Roman Empire, the attitude toward women was despicable.
Yes.
Women were not allowed to testify in court. If they witness a crime, their word was considered not worthy of even being given in evidence.
Right.
And they were treated like property. They were beat. Just tragic. Treated like a child throughout an adult life. And when the Apostle Paul began his four now epic missionary journeys
yes.
throughout the Roman Empire, he set that culture on fire because what came across with Christianity is that God values all people equally, women like men, and that Christ died for all of us equally.
Yes, and that's such an important point.
Yeah, and women took up Christianity, and they became some of the main evangelists
right.
and missionaries. And so we sort of have a repeat of that. It's often in some of the same countries, like Turkey, for example,
yeah.
where we were, it's almost completely Muslim, and the, you know, the attitude toward women in Turkey is better than some other countries.
Right.
But in so many countries of the world, women are treated so terribly, and here is Christianity with the true answer.
Yes, and it's very important for them to hear about that. And it's a woman's job to tell them.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where we need more women to...
Wow.
Be called of the Lord to go.
To go. It takes courage to go.
It does.
Because, you know, there are many, many, many Christians, like Wayne said from Tulsa. He said, a lot of us Christians are afraid to open our mouth to our neighbor.
Right.
And our neighbor, you know, maybe it's just an Italian or something.
Right.
And maybe he's an atheist or just a Democrat.
Right.
And we're afraid to say Jesus Christ is real. Because we don't want them to think badly of us.
Yes. And
that little bit of fear keeps millions of Christians silent.
That's true.
Which is so sad.
I think it comes to, what do you value more, obeying Christ and showing his love to others, or not feeling bad about yourself because someone rejects your message, or even up to losing your life for the Lord, because a lot of people just are not as committed and surrendered to the Lord as they need to be, so that they would say, okay, I'll go. This is a dangerous place, but I'll do it.
Mm. I'll go. So you are going to go. How long have you been preparing?
I'd like to say since I was really young,
because
that's when I felt the Lord wanted me to do this. But officially about 4 years.
Wow. And I know from talking to you off the air, you're very well studied. You understand the issue, the culture, the religion.
Mm-hmm.
The Quran, you've read what, some of the Quran?
Yes, I've read it all.
You've read the entire
yes.
Quran. I've read the Penguin, the Pocket Penguin edition of the Quran.
Right.
Which I don't think has all the books of the Quran. But some of the stories in there are just bizarre. And the fact that hundreds of millions of people have been seduced by this away from the Creator God and the Lord who died so that we could be saved is so sad.
It is. And it should be, I think, if we really love God and we really surrender to Him and our lives are committed to Him in that this plight of the Muslim people, and that they don't know the truth and they're not going to hear unless someone goes, that should really bring up some compassion in us. It should be a motivating thing.
Yeah, that's a great point. We could see the war on terror and have a hatred or bitterness.
Right.
But I think that's misdirected.
Right.
Pity, compassion, love.
Yes.
The Good Samaritan showed love to his neighbor, and he possibly didn't even believe in God.
Right.
Because Jesus said the Samaritans, they don't even know who God is. They don't know what they worship.
Right.
But here's the Samaritan who loved his neighbor. If you believe in God, can't you at least do the same?
Right.
So thank you, Maria. We want to keep in touch with you.
Okay.
And if possible, we'd like to report occasionally on how things are going for you in the mission field.
Okay, wonderful.
So, all
thank
right?
you.
So you keep in touch, and especially keep in touch with us through our dear friend Joe Scott.
Okay.
Who's a friend of yours. And so thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
All right. So remember, if you'd like to support Maria, send a check or go online to KGov, KGOV.com, and give a donation to Denver Bible Church and comment online. You just would comment, it's for Islamic missions. And if you're sending a check, then in the memo field, put Islamic missions, and Denver Bible Church will get that to Maria in the field. Okay. Now, we're about out of time, but this is our third broadcast, only three. Boy, I feel like a kid in Iowa. And it's such an honor to be on. So as Wayne said, we've been around a long time, and there's so much that we want to share with you guys in Iowa. Welcome. We're thrilled to have you in the Bob Newhart Live family. Check us out online at KGov, KGOV.com. And if you call, you want a catalog, we'll send you a catalog of our Bible resources, 800-8-NYART. That's 800-8-NYART.